So I walk a lot on breaks and stuff at work, and there's a lot of other people around. It's kind of a university vibe. And, you know, when I walk around or drive around or whatever, I'm kind of always looking around, looking for something interesting, looking at buildings or looking at people. And I've noticed that most people seem to be walking around like robots, maybe looking at their phone or just moving forward, trying almost not to look at anyone else. And there's all this stuff going on around us, weird shit, interesting shit, and most people don't seem to be paying attention. And sometimes I'll go down some strange route or roads I don't normally walk around just to explore, like just pointless exploration for no other reason than to see what happens. The unexpected is kind of what keeps life interesting, and you have to keep yourself open to that. And, you know, maybe say hi to someone you don't know. Everyone is so stuck in their cloud. It's like, here's one example. I go to this coffee place every morning at work. It's got like university kids that work there, and I always order a double espresso in a small coffee cup. They usually put the double espresso in this ridiculously small little paper cup that almost looks like a shot glass. And first off, the espresso is hot as shit, so you have to walk with the cup like it's fucking nitroglycerin so you don't spill it. Speaking of nitroglycerin, I'm sure you've seen the William Friedkin movie Sorcerer from 1977, where Roy Scheider is the leader of a bunch of criminals who get hired to drive a shipment of unstable nitroglycerin. Is nitroglycerin ever stable? Over an area full of rocks, shitty bridges, and local gorillas. It's a cool, great-looking, suspenseful movie. It's kind of a reimagining of the 1953 movie The Wages of Fear, directed by Henri Georges Clouseau, starring the legendary Yves Montand. But anyway, back to the coffee. Like every day, I'm generally telling the same people, hey, can I get the espresso in the small coffee cup, not the little espresso cup? And I'm not saying I'm some striking, unforgettable figure, although I am a wiry 6'3", pale as shit dude who looks like a vampire. But it's like, don't you guys remember that I come in every goddamn day? Do you not pay attention? Do you not give a damn? Or do you not look at the people that buy your coffee? I remember them, but then again, I'm an anxious type who's always kind of scanning other people, looking at their body language, their interactions. And I've come to the conclusion that most people don't give a fuck about interacting with people. Yes, I guess in younger people, this is called the Gen Z stare, where people have lost the ability to socialize or bullshit, and there's just a vacancy there. Oh well, that's the price of this smartphone internet age. Most people interact with their phones, and people just aren't important or of interest. Although there is one instance where eye contact is completely forbidden. When you're taking a piss at a urinal and some guy is pissing at the next urinal, do not look at each other. I don't care if you know each other. Do not speak to each other. In fact, there's been a couple times where I felt some weirdness from the guy pissing next to me, so I literally just would stop pissing, wash my hands, and get the fuck out of there. Speaking of pissing, and this is for the guys out there, but have you ever had the pleasure of pissing on ice? I know I mentioned it before, but please try it. The crackling sound as the ice slowly disintegrates is so satisfying. There's been a couple times in my life, okay, maybe 20, where I've had some old-ass bags of ice in the freezer and I've taken the ice out, put it all in the kitchen sink, and pissed on it, just to see and hear the ice as it deconstructs. Am I sharing too much? Maybe. But that's the way I roll, baby. Okay, well, let's start this thing. I've seen a few movies I can mention, and some made-up movie scenes, and an utterly classic song. And some other shit I haven't quite figured out yet. Come join me, why don't you?
You are my density. You are my density.
A brief mention of the recently departed Robert Redford, undeniably a massive Hollywood star. He had the looks, he had the chops. I mean, he's as big time as they get. No one needs an exhaustive list of his movies, but go check out 3 Days of the Condor, the 1975 paranoid spy thriller directed by the master Sidney Pollack and also starring Faye Dunaway and a perfectly evil Max von Sydow. I also really enjoyed 1992's Sneakers, directed by Field of Dreams director Phil Alden Robinson. It's about a team of hackers led by Robert Redford. It's a thriller with comedic leanings. The hackers get mixed up into a tale of politics, deception, and betrayal. It's also got Sidney Poitier, Dan Aykroyd, Ben Kingsley, and the one and only River Phoenix, who died the following year of a drug overdose on October 31st, 1993. Although I consider myself more of like a Paul Newman fan, Robert Redford was still a biggie. So rest in peace, Robert Redford. And he was buried at a private family funeral at his home at Sundance in the mountains of Utah. All right, so I've mentioned Pissing on Ice and Robert Redford. What else was I going to talk about? Oh, yeah, some made-up movie scenes. Okay, picture Jack Nicholson and Harry Dean Stanton. They're in a house surrounded by cops. Harry Dean says, "What are we going to do, man?" And Jack says, "Well, I think there's only one real way out of this mess. We're going to have to walk out there and lie our asses off. We've got nothing to lose at this point." Okay, here's another picture, an older, jaded, world-weary Al Pacino playing a cop who finally caught a famous serial killer after years of trying to track him down. Al is speaking with a younger female detective, and Al says, "You know, I spent so much time trying to catch this guy that by the time I had found him, I had lost myself." I don't know. I kind of like that one. And this one is stupid. Picture like a couple of older British guys. One comes out of his bedroom wearing multicolored bell bottoms, and the other guy says, "Well, aren't we Mr. Fancy Pants?" Okay, some movies. I did watch Megan 2.0. I hate when fucking movies do that. And you know, aside from being way too long, it was actually kind of enjoyable. I mean, I did have very low expectations. I watched it on Peacock or some shit. And it's really kind of a takeoff of Terminator 2 with Megan as the possibly reformed Merchant of Doom who decides to fight another evil robot for the sake of saving the world. And I did have a mild buzz while watching this movie, so that probably helped. But you know, it's pretty well done. I mean, it has some satisfying violence. The acting was a bit better, I thought, than the original Megan. And this Megan 2.0 was kind of a bomb, but don't look at box office numbers and ever equate that with equality. And I'm not saying Megan 2.0 is great or something, but never base an opinion on popularity or because of reviews or any of that shit. Okay, and I came across a little unexpected gem of a throwback horror movie from 2025. It's called Night of the Reaper. It's about a college student named Dina, who's home from college. She gets roped into a babysitting job for the local sheriff. There's been a recent killing of a babysitter. So it's kind of two stories at once. Dina is being stalked by this killer while the sheriff is following leads to try and find the killer. The last quarter of the film are probably a little too cute for its own good, and the plot doesn't completely hold water. But the majority of the film is actually pretty well done. It's effectively chilling with some fairly legit scary moments. It's more of a retro slasher, but it does have a decent story and it's got heart. I was surprised how much I liked it, so hey, watch it. It's got largely a no-name cast, but one of the actors has the most amazing last names ever. Okay, this dude's name is Matty Finocchio. And I've always remembered that line in The Godfather where Marlon Brando as Vito Corleone calls the wannabe movie star Johnny Fontaine a Hollywood Finocchio, which I guess is an offensive Italian word for a homosexual. And in more serious cinema updates, I did go to see the new Paul Thomas Anderson epic, One Battle After Another, a pretty big-budget, ambitious-as-hell film, loosely based on Thomas Pynchon's novel Vineland from 1990. The film spans several years, and it focuses on an ex-radical named Bob, played by a somewhat gone-to-seed, in a good way, Leonardo DiCaprio, who's become a huge stoner, living off the grid, always in fear of someone finding him, but he is completely devoted to his teenage daughter, Willa, played by a great Chase Infinity. The movie is timely. It's about the United States falling apart, with people ratting on each other in a cabal of authoritarian white supremacists who find a willing participant, the grimacing anti-immigrant military man Stephen J. Lockjaw, played by a somewhat cartoonish Sean Penn. And I know Pynchon likes the use of silly names for his characters, but Lockjaw is a little too on the nose for me. I mean, you really can never top Strangelove as a demented character's name. Lockjaw walks like he has a stick up his ass, and he's a majorly fucked up character. And Benicio del Toro has a great role in the movie as a calm and cool sensei. So anyway, the movie is sprawling, and it's really damn good. I mean, for this one, my expectations were incredibly high, and I can't say the movie lived up to them. But it's still very well done, and there's more than a few, like, absolutely spectacular moments. But the ending just left me a little cold. Leonardo DiCaprio is great in the movie, but you know, he'll really never have that gravitas of Jack Nicholson. It's just a different age, a different era. And briefly on Sean Penn, there's a weird similarity going on these days between him and RFK Jr. Political opposites, yes, but they both have a fairly robust history of drug use. They both seem to have tempers. They both are using steroids. I mean, these guys are juiced to the gills. Both of these guys look like their heads are going to explode. They're veiny as shit, and their physiques just kind of look silly. Sean Penn's arms are about to burst in this film, and it just doesn't look natural. Yes, he exercises, I'm sure, but you aren't packing on that much definition and crazy vasculature at age 65. Sorry, it doesn't happen. So yeah, Sean, I would dial back on the testosterone a bit. You know, you keep pushing your body to extremes, and it's not likely that you'll even make it to 70. Anyway, check out One Battle After Another. It's shot in VistaVision, which I respect, and it must be seen in a theater. And when I was in my 20s, my life was a bit of a charade. I hadn't yet figured myself out. I was kind of playing a part. I hadn't any self-confidence yet, and my opinion could be swayed easily. But now, for better or worse, I'm completely 100% myself. I know what I like, I know what my rules are, and I know what's important to me. And hey, speaking of charades, the music master Henry Mancini's song Charade from 1963 is just an amazing song. It's from the previously mentioned movie Charade, also from 1963, a crazy screwball spy comedy with serious Hitchcock vibes, directed by Stanley Donen, starring, hold on to your hats, folks, Cary Grant, Audrey Hepburn, Walter Matthau, and James Coburn. But yeah, Charade is just a perfect song, pretty, sad, and with great lyrics by Johnny Mercer. And I know I have a weird microphone setup. I realize a lot of times you can barely hear my guitar when I sing. And at some point I'll figure out how to attach another microphone here. But for now, you're shit out of luck. When we played our charade, we were like children posing, playing at games, acting out names, guessing the parts we played. Oh, what a hit we made. We came on next to closing. Best on the bill, lovers until love left a masquerade. Love left a masquerade.